Good evening to our.
Good evening and welcome to our village board meeting. It's January 22nd at 7 o'clock. I'd ask the clerk to please take the roll call.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell. Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis. Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
President Adusi.
Here. Okay, if I can all ask you to stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I know, right? That's what I was thinking. I got a little too comfortable.
All right. So all the citizens' comments have to do with zoning. So if you don't mind, we'll wait for the comments until we get to the zoning portion, if that's okay. Just easier. All right. So we'll go on to the elected official comments and announcements. So if I maybe start with Trustee Bachner, you don't mind?
Yeah, thanks. I'd like to start with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. And I have nothing to report tonight.
Okay, thanks. Well, not thanks, but thanks for being short. Lisa, Trustee Gillis.
Okay, I just have two things. One is I just want to let you know that I worked with the Lincoln School Echo Kids and their faculty advisor to understand our carbon footprint. So it was a very animated conversation, and I did that on Wednesday the 10th. And I also want to congratulate the River Forest Sustainability Commission for their partnership with the University of Illinois Chicago Department of Urban Planning and Policy to create a climate action plan for the village. I think that will be, you know, it's one of the things we've been working towards. So to get that help from, you know, a great program at a great college is always welcome. So congrats to the team. Thank you.
Just good evening, everyone, and I have no more comments.
Okay. Clerk?
Nothing to add, thanks.
Okay.
Katie? I just wanted to mention that I believe we've got two more Holiday Greens pickup days this month, tomorrow, and then the last Tuesday of the month, and that's it. So if anyone has stuff to put them out and take off anything that's not, anything that's artificial before you put it out. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Ken?
I also don't have anything to say. However, I would say, I guess I had something to say, but not many comments.
Important?
Right. It's kind of important. It's a little important. So I was just going to say that, you know, as we take on more snow, please be cognizant of your sidewalks and your neighbors and your neighbors' dogs, so that, you know, they do have the opportunity to pass through your yard. That's it.
Yes. Thank you for reminding everyone for shoveling sidewalks. It's real important, not only for dogs, but for seniors and others that are trying to get through. So thanks, Ken, for reminding us. I only have one other thing that I'd like to just add. Mayor Tamburino had all the Western suburban mayors together on January 10th. And it was about assessments in the village, you know, the from the Cook County assessor. And so that's a very interesting topic and almost impossible to solve. But the topic was really around what can the villages and cities do to help both the assessor as well as the board of reviews understand market value. And Ken, I think you might understand this a little bit. I mean, you know, what is a market value compared to you know, what does that mean? And so we kind of hashed around some ideas, and we kind of landed on trying to maybe put together a bill that might represent us all in the area of if a market value is going to go up a certain percentage because of commercial, you know, changes or housing changes, and that percentage has to be something reasonable, then we need to know, you know, that we need to at least understand what the percentage is and why the percentage moved that high, because some of them moved up to 50% in some community. It might even been our community as well. So we're going to look at legislation that we could ask both the assessor and others to support, but that's just in the early stages. So I just wanted to share that with you all, that is in the works. See where that takes us in the next couple of months.
Kathy, I'm sorry, is that in relation to, I don't know if I heard the first part, residential and commercial, or yes. Just, okay.
Yeah, it's just, it's really the whole, the way the assessor and the Board of Reviews actually look at our property values. And based on that, of course, the levy that we, you know, the tax that we levy. So, you know, all of us know that, you know, a dollar is a dollar. So if the commercial, you know, real estate is going to ask for a reduction, the rest of us have to pick up the slack.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that's the issue. It's not just the market value of your home, but it's also where that tax dollar tends to shift.
Yeah.
And that's the piece that all the cities and the municipalities are dealing with. It's like, well, how do we, I mean, that's a big number for residential to, because everyone for thinks, sure. Oh my God, you're taxing us to death. And in reality,
It's all divided.
Yeah. And it's hard to understand. It's all divided. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the shift in who took a reduction in their taxes.
Yeah. I feel like I've heard the Cook County Assessor say in the past that if you have a few different buildings that are have very low assessments, but maybe should have higher assessments, that letters from the village to them can be helpful.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to coordinate, is what do we need to do as a group of cities? And then what can we do to say, don't, you know, there might, there, again, the commercial property owners don't want to hear this, but there might be some need to try to, you know, minimize that reduction. So, you know, one of the things we did really well several years ago with the Sheridan, and again, this is public knowledge, is that we actually negotiated with the Sheridan that they could not reduce their property tax bill by any amount, which helps us, because if you take a big building like that and it reduces, it then comes with us.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, we're going to keep working at that, and I'll let you guys know if it gets any legs. Yeah, that's all I have to report as well. Okay, we have next up is a recognition of Anya Herman. I think she is on the line with us. Hello, how are you?
Hi, good. Thank you so much.
Great. Happy well, welcome to our board meeting. We're very happy you can make it this evening. I know we've asked you in the past, and your schedule is really busy. You're, you know, not only traveling, but you're a student and you're going to school. So there's a lot on your plate. So we're very, very thankful and grateful that you could make it tonight. But what we want to do is honor you and recognize you for all the work that you've done, not only within our community and on the DEI community, but what you've represented yourself to the world and to the United States with being honored at the White House. So we have a recognition here, resolution or proclamation that I'd like to read. And then maybe afterwards, Anya, you can say a few words if you feel like you'd like to. This is a proclamation recognizing Anya Herman for her work as a disability rights activist and advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion. Whereas Anya Herman is a River Forest resident and currently a senior at Oak Park River Forest High School. And whereas since 2021, Anya Herman has been the youngest serving member of the village's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group. And whereas Anya Herman joined the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Advisory Group to work with others to ensure River Forest remains a welcoming community for generations after me. And whereas on October 11, 2023, Anya Herman was announced as one of the 15 young women leaders selected by the White House Gender Policy Council to be honored at the inaugural Girls Leading Change event hosted that same day. And whereas the White House highlighted Anya's role in grassroots disability advocacy, including a member of the Personal Protective Equipment for People with Disabilities, which helped secure personal protective equipment for people with disabilities during the COVID-19 pandemic. And whereas the White House recognized Anya's authorship of a white paper that highlights the need for school shooting plans that account for the safety of students with disabilities through a fellowship program at the Disability Empower Her Network. So now, therefore, I, Catherine Deducey, president of the Village of River Forest, do hereby congratulate Anya Herman for being honored at the inaugural Girls Leading Change event at the White House and for her commitment to raising awareness about disability rights and her role as an advocate for diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I have signed this proclamation for you, and we will make sure that this gets to you safely and soundly to your home. So congratulations on being recognized as, at the White House, and of course, being part of our diversity, equity, inclusion, and this proclamation.
Thank you very much for the honor, President Deducey. I love working with everyone on the DEI committee, and I'm so honored that you guys took time out of your meeting to recognize me. I do, unfortunately, have some homework to do, so I'll pop off. But thank you so much, all of you. Have a lovely evening.
Thank you, Anya. And before you go, I'd like to acknowledge either Erica or Ken, because you're co-chairs of the DEI committee, if you want to say a few words.
I'll go first and I'll let Erica chime in. I just want to say, I've known of you, about you, and for several years, and it was a joy to actually spend more time with you with the DEI committee. And you've always entertained different perspectives that I never considered. And so, I will always remember you for that. And I thank you for all the perspectives that you added to the group.
Thank you. Yeah.
If we were to actually list out all of Anya's credits, we would be here all night. She is a phenomenal young woman, and I am just so excited, Anya, for what is yet to come for you and for us to be just along for that ride. So congratulations on this. That I'm sure this is just the beginning.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
Thank you very much, both of you. Have a lovely night. Bye.
All right. Good night. Thank you. Adorable. All right. That's the best part of our job. All right. So let's go on to the consent agenda. If I can get a motion to approve the consent agenda items A through D.
I move to approve the consent agenda items A through D.
Second.
Okay. Any questions or concerns regarding the consent agenda? Hearing none, if I can ask the clerk to read those items and then take the vote.
Consent agenda item A, Village Board of Trustees meeting minutes, January 8th, 2024. B, Administration Department report. C, December 2023 financial report. D, Electronic Equipment Surplus Donation, PCs for People Ordinance. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you. So we'll move on to our recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. We have 7A, if I can get a trustee to move and second 7A, and then we'll ask our citizens' comments to come up.
Motion to approve ordinance amending the village code regarding the regulation of child daycare centers.
Second.
Okay. All right, so Renee or Sam or Laura, do you come up? And I know we've heard before, and we've got all of our notes from the zoning. So
good evening. Good evening. Sorry. So we're here once again just to hopefully get approval for the property owners at 7777 Lake Street to apply for a special use permit for the space that we intend to occupy to create additional classrooms for our Montessori preschool. That's our only request. Thank you.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to add anything, but that was great. That's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. If
good evening, everyone. My name is Sam Chavez with the Apartments Source Management. I wanted to just come briefly and introduce myself and just let you know that I'm very excited at the opportunity to have Montessori take up the commercial space, which is 777 Lake Street. Just to give you an idea, and I'm not quite sure how much the board understands what the commercial needs are in the real estate submarket when it comes to commercial spaces. It's one of the most challenging pieces of real estate to manage, own, and provide services to, you know, any community, not just in Chicago, not just in River Forest, but just nationally. Commercial real estate is experiencing one of the highest vacancy rates in the entire real estate submarket. Anytime we have a commercial applicant, whether it's a school, whether it's a store, whether it's a restaurant, you know, we manage a ton of stuff out in Oak Park and some surrounding suburbs. It's a pain. It's not easy. It's extremely challenging. Number one, especially with, you know, and I don't have to tell you this, but you'll know in Chicago, especially the work from home dynamic and sort of what's turned Michigan Avenue from what it was back in the, you know, 90s and early 2000s to what it is today, night and day difference. We're talking about properties that are selling for about 50% of what their tax base value is today, right? So whenever we have an opportunity to help a business grow, whenever we have an opportunity to have commercial success flourish, especially in a town as beautiful as is River Forest, I'm going to come from Midway Airport, which is where I live after working a 12-hour day here, to say, please help our people grow their business because we're struggling as private enterprise, as private property managers for commercial storefronts. Again, not just restaurants, not just office space, not just any other commercial submarket, but all of it. We're struggling. Our landlords are having a hard time paying their mortgages. They're having a hard time paying their property taxes. We were just talking about property taxes earlier, and we're doing this. This is what we're all doing today. We're doing this. Please don't go up. Please don't hit us hard. One variable that we have control over is who our tenants are, who can help us pay those property taxes, can help us fill economic vacancy, and help the board and help the village more importantly. So my vote again, my ask is, as a property management professional, consider those that are coming to knock at your door to say, I want to expand my business in your neighborhood. Because tomorrow you're not going to have anyone knocking on your door, because it's going to be impossible.
Yeah. So Sam, I got a quick question. I mean, yeah. I'm all in favor of it, but I mean, my question is, and I agree with you, commercial real estate now is probably the worst it's ever been. And like you said, things are, you know, closing at a rapid rate. But do you believe that that is cyclical in your mind in terms of, you know, things are just shifting?
Sure.
From, you know, you talked about Michigan Avenue. Now yeah. We go to Fulton Market and you can't walk. There's so many people.
Sure.
So just curious that your professional opinion.
I don't think it's so much cyclical. Well, here, put it to you like this. Not since the Great Depression have you seen the vacancy that you have in commercial storefronts that you do today. I don't believe it's so much cyclical as it is lifestyle changes. For example, private employers, you can have as many cycles as you want. If you have a potential employee who is able to be incentivized by the Googles of the world, by the Amazons of the world, and sort of these commercial conglomerates where, hey guys, yeah, no, stay at home. You want to stroll into a meeting at 8:30 in your pajamas? Go ahead and do it. Why? Because that type of business doesn't necessarily need to have an office presence, right? So is it cyclical? I'm going to say a part of it is, but I'm also going to say it's part of a lifestyle change. It's part of the generation that we're in. And if it was not 2024 first quarter compared to where we were at 5 years ago, 8 years ago, 10 years ago, we have not, since the Great Depression, seen the amount of commercial vacancy that we see today. In fact, it's worse. Is it cyclical? Maybe. But what can I do today to impact my property tax base with my current applicants, with someone, for example, like Montessori? You know, I just had a couple of other commercial businesses interested in renting some other properties in our portfolio. Again, and by the way, 89%, I'm not making these numbers up, 89% of every commercial of every hire in the U.S. is hired by small business. 89%. And by the way, the other 9%, we're talking about the conglomerates, the Amazons of the world, the Walmarts of the world, so forth and so on. So again, when I have someone like Montessori knocking on our door to say, please give us a business license, we want to grow our business, we're looking for to provide childcare for those employees that are working in the workforce, understand that the knocking that you're hearing at your door today is going to be gone very, very soon. Just keep that in mind.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Laura, did you want to speak?
Yep.
Okay. Why not?
That's a tough act to follow. I'm Laura May Crook. I'm representing the Montessori School as their real estate agent, but I'm also a resident of River Forest. So I guess I'll speak as kind of both hats. And I'm also a owner of a small business. The vacant space is not good for a town. Preschool is extremely needed in this town. It just makes all the sense in the world to allow this to happen, to fill a vacant space that's been vacant for many years, to having it become a vibrant part of our town that can serve the residents of town. I think that's the strongest argument here, and I hope that you guys decide that today.
Okay. Thanks, Laura. Okay, that's all we have. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm here as a resident of of River Forest.
You state your name.
Today. Oh, sorry, I'm Joey Zinal.
Sure.
I live in River Forest. We actually send our son, our older son, to the Mosaic Montessori program, and it has been a really great program for our kid.
Sure.
And we have a 20-month-old who we're sending to a school about 20 minutes away. So this expansion for us, and I'm sure for other residents in the community, would be really beneficial. And as Lori mentioned, this is a need in the community. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good win for everyone to have this so close to where we live. So I'm just here sort of supporting the program that we've sent our kid to for 2 years now and have really been really great advocates of the school.
Sure. Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Is there anybody else that wants to speak on behalf of this zoning ordinance? Okay.
I just want to say quickly for it. I think to the gentleman's point for who's the manager, what we're doing here tonight, and if we approve this, is the right kind of thing. We have to be creative with the commercial real estate, see where the market is at, and making these kinds of changes that make sense. It just helps what he was talking about as the problem.
Yep.
I'll also chime in. I think I remember when this first came to the board a little bit ago that we were told that there's a waiting list of students or kids who want to, who need space, and they just don't have space for them right now. So this is filling a need. And I think that it also helps attract more families and keep families in River Forest, which is what we want.
Totally agree. Yeah, I think what you're referring to is when Dominican closed down the Goddard Center. Yeah.
No, I think that they actually said their spot here on Lake Street, that's over, they're right. Oversubscribed. I was not talking about Dominican. I was talking about this.
That's going out.
So that's a second issue.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, no, agreed. Any further comments before we take the vote?
Well, I have a couple of questions and then I have a number of comments. But for the questions I have is, and I know it came up in some of the commission meetings, and I think, Matt, you asked this question. Does this, or someone asked you this question, does a special use follow the property or the applicant? You thought it was specific to the applicant, but you weren't sure. So what is that?
So the answer is that a special use, if the ordinance approving the permit for the special use is not specific, the default is it will run with the land. If It says nothing about that use. It's focused on the use at that location. Having said that, it is possible to draft a special use ordinance and limit it to the applicant. And that is of more or less strength, depending on the use involved. I think with a daycare use, where the use involves the actual applicant and the competency of the applicant and so forth, there's a stronger argument to limit it to that particular applicant. So the follow-up being that if that applicant were to sell the business, the special use would have to be applied for and reapproved. Whereas okay. if it was silent, it would run with the land because it's a zoning matter, and zoning typically focuses not on who the owner is or who the tenant is or the activity, but on the okay. land and the activity at that location.
Okay.
So the answer to that is it depends. It is possible to limit this to the applicant if and when this special use would be approved. The application isn't before us, so
okay.
that's not the issue okay. tonight. It just makes it possible for the applicant to apply.
Okay. So the zoning, if this text amendment is approved, then you have the second shot at the applicant when he applies.
Correct. It still okay. is not. It doesn't mean that the daycare can go there.
Okay.
It means that there is an ordinance, a legislative basis for them for to request. Ask for approval in this commercial district, which without that, this kind of use had an N in the table, which meant it can't go there, period.
Okay. Okay. Now I got to
call. Makes it possible.
Now, even if the special use was granted in the zoning, could it be reversed in the future?
So the answer to that is it really depends. So certainly
lawyers. Well, okay. No, this is
well,
true.
The
no,
answer, no. So by granting,
I was afraid you were going to say
by granting the use, the village is conferring a property right on that okay. location.
Okay.
And when once someone goes in there, there's a property interest in that right. Now, special uses, when they're approved based on certain requirements and findings. And every special use ordinance, if those conditions are breached, the special use can be revoked with due process, but it can be revoked.
Okay. And a couple of things with that. Let's assume this one is granted. And then, I appreciate what you're saying. So if the board wants to reverse the zoning, it would just grandfather this one property. Can you do that? Or you're saying we can never reverse it at all?
Oh, well, one of the things that could be done is by limiting it to this particular applicant. When it came time to re-up, then the board wouldn't be bound to approve it again, subject to potential challenge, depending on the nature of the facts and so forth.
I'll get to the challenge later, but what I'm saying, though, is if it's restricted to the one applicant right now, I'm commenting or asking because you said it goes with the land. So you can deny the applicant on the renewal, but would it stay with the property owner?
No. No, it applies to the property. And
no, the zoning, you're saying. I'm saying the zoning itself, the special use.
The ability to apply for a special use would remain yes. because that's now you're making that part of the text of this yes. district. So any future applicant could apply. Let's say you turned one down, an applicant, or there was right. a business was going to be sold and the board, for reasons that were brought out in the hearing, said we're not going to approve it. It wouldn't stop a future applicant if the special use as a possibility remained in the C3 from coming forward for that property or anywhere else in the district.
So then my question then is, if we grant this text amendment to the C3 district, it stays and we can have a reverse.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yes, you absolutely can reverse it.
Okay, now here's the difference.
And there's
okay.
also no property right in that text amendment. You could reverse it at the next meeting.
Okay. So really the issue that you were talking about with the difficulty is if the applicant is approved and complies and continues to comply with the zoning. Okay.
Correct. Because, and now I understand your use yeah. of the term grandfathering.
Yeah,
so
right. Meaning,
if the right. board, if the board were to grant this text amendment and the board were to approve the special use to the applicant,
mm-hmm.
Either limiting it to that applicant or not, they would have a property right in that special use. That wouldn't preclude the board from, if it decided, you know, I think this is a bad idea, allowing this all in the C3. We're going to change that, and we're going to turn that special use back into an right. And it's not allowed. The board could do that, but that wouldn't revoke the Montessori school that was approved there. Wouldn't have to shut its doors at the next meeting because right. They would be grandfathered.
So where I'm getting at eventually is, let's assume we agree, we pass. Well, I guess that's still going to be an issue, but let's assume we do grant this text amendment.
The text amendment.
Right. And then we give, which I'm going to be in favor in the future, for a limited special application for this one individual to get the special use permit.
Yes.
Because then I want the ability, and I'll explain why I'm going in this route. I want the ability to say, no, I'm not going to let anybody come in. And just as long as they have a care day center that they can operate it automatically by right.
Correct. You know, you wouldn't right. have that. And as a matter of fact, you as an elected official, even if the special use possibility remained as a text amendment, you would legitimately be able to say, I voted for that one for reasons X, Y, and Z, or because I thought that one was really needed, but I'm not voting for any more of this kind of use in this district, either because I think we've reached a saturation point, or right. I don't think it's been vacant long enough, or whatever it is. You're free to use your own judgment in any future applications.
Okay. And this property is not in the border of the perimeters of the C3 district, correct? It's, I wouldn't say the middle, but it's not on the border.
No, right.
Okay.
Right,
correct.
So it's not like you can lob this little section off as part of a non C3 district. The reason is it's in the middle. And here's where I'm going. And eventually in the future, I mean, we're trying to develop business in this village. And so whenever you break up a piece of property, and I'm not saying it's exactly in the middle, but it's going to make it less attractive to a developer to come in, the smaller you break up those pieces. So I'm concerned about doing that unless we have out clauses to be able to act in the future if we ever do get a developer in the future. The other thing, too, is this applicant is not, I heard the gentleman, Sam, it's not a business person coming in to use this property. It's a not-for-profit, correct? Okay. And that's okay. It's not. The reason why is that the owner, the landlord, is a business, I guess. But the person who's coming in for using or getting the advantage of the special use is a not-for-profit. Right. The reason I'm raising that is we had an issue. It's not the exact same thing on North Avenue in Montessori when there was a deal and they didn't want to honor it. And I am not saying that you are anywhere close to that. But you know, it's, you know, we got burned on that one. So well, at least I know this board has a fiduciary responsibility to everybody in this village. So when that entity decided not to honor that, came back and used its legal technicalities to get out of the deal, we have to acknowledge that is a possibility. And I understand right now the landlord is a taxpaying person paying the property taxes, but the question does come up if that landlord was to sell, and I'm not saying Mosaic would buy it, but let's assume they would, then that property would no longer be collecting property taxes anymore besides the sales tax.
I think that's a different vote and a different conversation.
I understand, okay. But because this may go there, I don't want anybody on this board to buy. Kathy, okay. I know you and I know about this, but right. Everybody else, I don't know if you're familiar with that issue, yeah. And you probably are, but... If not, for the record, everybody in the room and whoever's listening to this audio, is the reason why I'm raising this concern is it is a valid concern. And so that's why I really want to make sure that if we're doing it, and I understand Sam's point, it's vacant, and Laura's point too, it's vacant right now. Let's find a use for it. And if some people can benefit, including the village residents can benefit from it, I appreciate that. believe you me, I'm in favor of kids. I'm in favor of education. I've been in favor of that in the past. My whole history is working for education. So I'm in favor of that. But right now I'm sitting at this board table trying to, one of our missions or core values was to stabilize property taxes. And that's what we have to try to also do while we're balancing all of this. So I'm happy to hear what you just said, Lance, but I got to make sure that's really what's going to ultimately make it happen. You see what I'm saying, Matt? I'm looking at you.
I do. I got it.
All right.
Well, also, okay. And if any developer was supposed to come in, they would do what they normally do with, you know, if people are there and try to buy them out, you know, so we would maybe try to place them somewhere else. So I think there's a lot of other steps that go to it before we get to what you're talking about.
I understand that. But right now we have the leverage to say what we're going to do versus going through litigation. And I don't really want to go there. The last time we paid litigation, it was money coming out of the village and we ultimately lost. So I don't want to, you know, I love lawyers, don't get me, I'm one, but I don't want to use our funds for legal fees. And
no, I think, Rez, so, you bring up a good point, but I think Eric has said it right. I mean, right now it's I think it's very specific to this, you know, a use in that building, but you raising that organization. Well, they have to
the organization, apply. Right.
This text amendment is not specific to that building.
No, it is not.
No, absolutely.
No, it's in fact,
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah.
Correct. That whole C3 district, this text amendment would apply for that whole C3 district.
C3 district. Right. But I was just. Right.
Correct. I know.
They have to apply.
Correct. So.
Was my. Anyway, I mean, great questions. And I think, Rez, I thank you for elevating that conversation because that's exactly what we need to think about. Although I think they're slightly different issues.
But, yeah, there is. But.
But no. Yeah. Good points.
So we're comfortable in knowing that if we change this, there will not be any tax implications to the village, negative tax implications.
And well, the only
wouldn't be issue, or property no
tax. Property taxes, the sales tax, right. Not for profit. They
I'm sorry,
for,
should have said property tax.
This should not be.
So we're completely confident that there will be no implications negatively. I understand. Okay.
It's still under the same. All it,
no,
I think,
and financial, right?
No, I'm talking so we're not about losing potential. That. We're just talking the potential of the sales tax, but we're also allowing a tenant to be in that building that helps the landlord pay for his property taxes, which is important.
But I think what you bring up actually focus on economic development is why the economic development is able to get a job. Is there a job?
Yeah.
Is economic development?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. You talked about it. I mean, and I don't think their intent was in a bad way. I think.
No.
All right. Yeah. Great comments. Great points. Thank you for raising it. Any other further comments on this particular motion? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and take the vote.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes, based on my comments and questions and discussion with the village attorney, yes.
Qualified, yes. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Okay, the motion approved. So that's good. That's good direction. All right, so now we got our next zoning board of appeals. This is if I need a motion, a second, and then we can discuss it.
No. Well, what if we want to deny it? There are two motions.
No, that would be up to the village board member making a motion.
The move-in has to pick. So you can jump in first. Which is,
oh. Okay. Then you read the top up.
Go ahead.
I motion to approve an ordinance granting the requested variations to section 10.96 of the zoning code at 214 Gale Avenue.
Second. Okay. All right. So we're going to have, I don't know if Tom Shaughnessy, Tom and Linda is on. Tom, Linda, are you on? If you like, this is
the
point in our agenda. Okay.
We're here, Kathy. Yes. Thanks. Right.
Okay. This is a point in our agenda that you can speak if you want on 214. Gail.
Okay. Okay. I mean, basically, you know, the issue that we're seeing is that village codes were created for good reason, and they've been developed and changed over, you know, over time, over years, right? We enjoy the community river forest. We love the tree, you know, the fact that it's a beautifully, you know, treed lots and so forth here. All right. And really feel that that is a unique situation and this close to Chicago. Okay. And we just feel in general that, you know, that this structure does not adhere to, you know, to zoning requirements. The other thing I'd like to bring up as well is I feel that there's a lot more concrete involved. I mean, less green space in, you know, in the lot with this change in the plan and moving it to a different part of the yard. So,
all right. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, it does bring some concerns about, you know, possible water drainage issues, right, and so forth with the increased concrete. So, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Yep. Laura, you're up on 214. Or you want Kristen and Sean to go first?
Okay.
Kristen, Sean. So, come on in. Come on up.
Okay. Well, we are applying for the zoning variation to be able to have a height taller than what is currently being pursued. The plan that we have actually has a smaller footprint from what was just shared by Tom. The footprint itself of the garage will be a little bit smaller than the current footprint, and we're planning on ripping out a lot of concrete and using a ribbon driveway, so it actually will be more green.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if there's anything else that you,
so, you want to hear from me. Go ahead,
Kitty. Can I go ahead and ask
you? Yeah, go ahead.
Somewhere in the packet, I feel like I read that between the time that this was presented to the ZBA and tonight, there's been a revision to the project. But I don't think I understand what that revision is. Can you explain that?
Sure. When we first approached the village about this project, we were simply coming to say, can we have a taller structure? What we were told was that we could also put a bathroom in. And so we decided, all right, well, we'll build that into the plan. Not that we needed to have it, but just that it would be convenient to have. And I believe that that is something that was at issue with the zoning board. They asked a lot of questions of it. I don't know if that's why there were some declines or not. It isn't something that we need to have. That is certainly something that we probably won't build it at this point. Having it in the plan wouldn't be a bad thing just for future if anybody wanted to, but we were under the impression that it was permitted, that there wouldn't be any question to that. So that's really the biggest plan.
Is the request before us tonight with bathroom or without?
Without, yeah.
But do the drawings have the bathroom? That's what's important.
The drawings, we will remove them before we use official drawings, but we wanted to be able to, I mean, that does have an additional expense by going to our architect to have that new drawing.
Okay. But the only reason why is, as Trustee Brennan, I was about to raise the same question, is it appears to be an apartment is what it's looking like.
Yeah.
And so, and I don't know if the other residents that are against it, and I was going to ask you why, but that's my second question. But was that one of the reasons why? Meaning, did they think it was going to be an apartment? Because it does look with the bathroom and extra storage.
Yeah, I can understand why that would be interpreted that way. That is not the intention. That was never the intention. Our intention is to use it as storage. And because we were told that we could have that, we thought, well, why not put that into the plans? Again, even when we had that, when we designed it that way, we weren't certain if we were going to build the bathroom, but we just thought that it would be helpful to have it in the plan.
And then there was, I'm sorry, you were interrupted, I think.
Well, okay. I do have a follow-up question in my mind. I'm curious as to, since the project has now changed, it no longer has a bathroom, should that be going back to the ZBA for the ZBA to look at anew? Because I mean, I rely on the expertise of the ZBA. And that's something that's, you know,
well, Katie, that's
something that's key for me. So
yeah.
I would like to, I wonder if we, would revise our motion, or a third possible motion would be to send it back to the ZBA since it's a changed project now.
Yes, that would certainly be an option for the village board, or you could condition approval with the comments about the bathroom. But I think that for the comfort of the village board, it would make sense to refer that back to the zoning board with the revised plans.
So you're saying you feel that's the only issue, or is that, I didn't get that. That's the only,
no,
issue.
But that's not the only issue.
Go it ahead. Is. So the risk is it goes back and it still fails, but, right. But at least what Katie's saying, that conversation right. probably should happen.
I'm interested in the input of the ZBA on whatever that we're supposed to be looking at.
Yeah, no,
right.
Your point is,
well, no, I agree with that.
I agree.
So maybe I don't want to usurp this, but maybe a revised motion.
No, or just remand it back to the zoning board.
And you can hold a revision, but wait till the rest of us make comments, because.
Well, or whatever everyone decides, but we can just say send it back. Like we want to do, just send it back to the zoning board. But go ahead and finish your comments.
No, I wasn't sure.
Your point is well taken.
Okay.
Huh?
Were you? I have a question.
Trustee Brennan, were you? Oh.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah.
Katie, I'm sorry.
Done?
Go ahead.
No. I'm done for now.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Go ahead. John, go ahead.
Wow. And then so in regards to the height, because that seems to be an issue. What is the hardship that you're enduring by building the garage at 18 feet in height versus 26?
And that is the only thing that we were asking for. In order to keep architecturally consistent with the house, with our house, that's the pitch that's required. We have the smallest possible floor plan as far as being able to have a little bit of storage and two cars. And it still is as tall as what we're requesting in order to be consistent. And I think that that's what we want as a village. We want consistency in the way that we have architectural buildings. And that's why we're requesting the variance.
Have you gone through other possible options? And what were those?
I mean, we've made a lot of possible, there's a lot of things that we looked at.
Specifically for the height,
just for the height, is that you're saying? Well, we started out that what was originally designed for us by our architect was a much actually bigger footprint that would have been even taller. And at that time, I mean, that just seemed out of character for what we needed. And so that's why we asked him, can you make it as small as possible to therefore make the height as low as possible and still be consistent with the way that the garage would mirror the house. And this is my husband.
I'll step in. I'm Sean Vogan. To your point, we actually initially started with the garage, the same size, same footprint of the current garage, and moved it and built it around that. And that's when the height was even higher. And when we realized how much higher it was going to be, we shrunk the depth of the garage so that by doing that, the architect then was able to lower the height by a couple of feet, frankly. And so we went to try to mirror the same architectural elements of the house from 1895. We just are stuck with that kind of thing. So to the point about a hardship, it's not really a hardship. It's more of, for us, it's more of just trying to mimic the history of the community and making sure that we're, as Chris said, mirroring that for the future. So it's storage and wanting to have that space above the garage, but it's a smaller footprint, more green space, and it's the height variance that we're really concerned about. Like let's talk about.
Okay. And I guess my question, don't move, you can stay. My question is this. I'm going back to the architectural consistency language. Is it the shape of the roof that you're trying to be consistent with? And if that's the case, can't that be shrunk proportionately so it's within the 18 feet height? No? Well, I don't know. I'm asking. I mean, it would seem it would.
But I'm not an architect, but okay. The way that they that he has described it to us when we sat down is that we're taking the same angles, the same proportions that are in the current house, and the gambrel roof is what it's called. New information for this guy, and that the shape of the roof is such that it's like this, and then it kind of goes. That's why it's. I don't know how just to describe it, but he tried to work it as much as possible to get it as small as possible.
Okay.
So yeah. I guess for me, for clarity's sake, if you remove the bathroom and you paid an architect to remove the bathroom, which I understand is another expense, I'd hate for you to have to do that only to find out that the real issue is
the height.
Right. So, and I think you know how they feel more than us, I'm sure. So do you have, besides the bathroom, do you have any idea? Do you feel that they would, if you did do that, we'd be still here with a yes vote, or what do you think?
I don't know. I know that there were 3 votes in favor and 4 against. So I don't know what was the factor that had that vote split that way. I don't know if it was the bathroom. I don't know if it was the height. I don't know if it was the neighbors who made comments. I don't know.
Just 8 standards. How many standards? 8?
Yeah. I mean, 8. Zoning.
Right.
Yeah. Well, the zoning notes are pretty, I think it's just not the bathroom, it's the height.
I think that's key. And they only held 2 of the 8 standards that they met. The rest they didn't meet. So
that's why I was wondering about alternatives and just, is there something that you can do that would still be architecturally flow well with the house? And
right. I mean, we went in wanting to stay within the ordinance. We didn't go in saying, we want to change this. And so that is the approach that we took, is what can we do within the current ordinance? And as Sean described, the way that the gambrel and the other architectural elements that I'm not an expert on either, this is as close as we could get.
But might it be possible, just following up, to also do a gambrel roof that's closer to the existing zoning?
Well, again.
Not with the footprint of the garage. To fit the cars in the garage, we can't. Yeah. It doesn't.
You can't do a gambrel roof at all.
Can't do a gambrel roof. So. No.
Historically, with the gambrel roof.
We're all going to be architects.
I'm wondering what. Do you have garages look like with those kinds of houses? And if there is a certain way that they have been set in the past that maybe you could take on, so.
It's what?
It's our unique house.
Yeah, I don't know if there's another one like it in the village. Laura would know better.
Go ahead, Lisa. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think that, yes, we talked about the height. We talked about the Everybody's talking about the water, but if, to your point, if you're doing ribbons, and then in there it also talks about that you're using pavers.
Right.
We prefer that for sure.
Yeah, right. So the water thing is not an issue with my because I think you're trying to mitigate that, and it's less fun. Mm-hmm.
That's right. We have a grading ordinance.
Right, and that would be covered during our permit review, so it should kept separate from the zoning perspective only. Yeah.
Can I ask this on the pavers? Is that the whole driveway of pavers, or just around the garage?
It would be approximately from where the house ends until the whole thing. So it wouldn't be the entire. It more than likely, wouldn't be the entirety of the driveway, but it would be the majority portion.
Okay.
So, I mean, if we bring it back to the zoning, chances are it could still fail, and you spend money with an architect. So the question becomes at the board here, I mean, are you willing to go against the zoning only based on the height of, which is the issue, the other issue?
And I should mention the motion on the table right now requires 4 trustees.
Approve. That's the other thing. I can't vote because of denial of the zoning. So it needs 4 of you trustees. Laura, if you want to get you.
Yeah.
Come on. And,
I have another question for Chris.
Well, I had it earlier about do you know the what the residents? Do you know why? I know one did say, "Oh, Laura," one said. Why were the at least the ones I've seen? It looks like more of there were more saying don't, like they weren't unhappy about it.
Well, our neighbor to the north submitted a letter in agreement with us being able to move forward with this this variation. And then there were three emails, but one is not adjacent to the property, and the other two are behind the property.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's it.
Just for clarification, there's no alley at this part of River Forest. Mm-hmm. So the garage sits at the back of the property and it butts up to the east side of the street on Thatcher.
And it's closer, I think. So there were maybe some privacy questions with the second floor, if I remember correctly.
Well, yes. And the way that we intentionally had the architect design the windows on that side, it really is, again, I think it would be more attractive personally, but is they're taller. So nobody would be able to, even if someone is standing in that storage space, they wouldn't be able to see out the window. So that concern just doesn't exist. We don't need to have those windows either, but it's more of a how to the point of neighbors being able to see something, being able to have something that is a little bit more attractive than just a plain wall.
Do you think that would quell the neighbors if there weren't windows on that side?
Having spoken to one of them, I don't think that it will. The other one, I'm not sure about.
And if you're not granted the variance,
we go back to square one. Yeah, we'll go back to square one, I guess.
Do you think that another opportunity with the board, with the zoning board, would be beneficial?
It might. I mean, I do think that there was heavy concern about the bathroom, which again, we didn't think that from the guidance that we were provided, we didn't think that was going to be an issue. And so had we known that it was going to be an issue, it would not have been included. And if that was the primary issue by the zoning board, then yes, that would be.
I will say with their notes, Kristen, it didn't seem like it. They seemed like they were, equal. But I mean, you have that possibility.
Right.
And but you'd have to, I guess, submit what other thing? What would Kristen and Sean have to submit, new drawings then, or without the bathroom? Or just want to make sure they're given realistic.
Correct. Yes. That the revised plan showing the bathroom, or maybe even the removal of the window based on the concern, or at least an option that shows that for the zoning board to consider would be helpful.
Matt and Lance, would it be possible to float a trial balloon, kind of like mock-up thing, rather than having to pay for the full, revised architectural drawing, so that they could have an understanding of
sure
where the ZBA might go with it before they incur the cost?
That's a good point. It was suggested, would that be precedent setting? I don't necessarily think so, given that you did have a complete application to begin with. It's just like if the board tonight, it could go forward and simply require final plans to eliminate the bathroom, then you'd have to do it, but you'd know you'd get it. I think it could be discussed with some helpful drawings if that would save money.
Yeah, and my recollection of the I didn't listen to the audio of that meeting, but I did look at the notes. There was some confusion as to whether, the bathroom, was in there or not. And hey, did you try to, sneak this in? No, we didn't. So, maybe just clarifying that with them, we didn't try to sneak it in. In fact, we're going to take it out. So, how do you like us now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can do that. I just want to make sure, we don't give the zoning board comes back and says, well, where's the information that I need to make sure that, do we take the window out? Do they just mark up a
No, they're going to want a drawing.
Can I comment here?
We're going to want a drawing, right?
As I read through this and hear everybody's comments, I don't think this really is an issue about the bathroom or the windows. It's the height. And we're not exceeding the ordinance by a couple feet. We're exceeding it by 8.
Yeah.
That's significant.
Yeah.
And that's where I think this lies. Whether or not we should grant you the opportunity to build a garage 8 feet higher than you're allowed to.
I think I believe that that may be the issue, but we did have 3 that were in favor. So that's the other thing, is that there were 3 that were in favor. And so I just don't know, was there a 4th person who wasn't the issue? The height wasn't the issue. It was something else.
Totally.
Yeah. And I would also like to put on the table that in 2020 at 210 Gale, there was a approval of a height increase from 18 to 23.5. Now this is 2 feet 4 inches more, but we've already got precedent of higher, approving something that's higher. You're getting now into significance, and I just want to kind of put that on the table.
I mean, I think the significance of height percentage is a factor. I would feel so much better about this if you were able to get your neighbor's agreement, right?
I don't know if the neighbors are really opposed to the height itself. I think that that's not, from what I have been able to gather, it's not the height. It was the concern about it being rented out, which was never even an intent or thought of ours. So I feel as though there were a few conflicting issues that have risen up to cause challenges when that's not what was on the table. The table is the height. And so
So here's what I think we're at. I think you got a board that wants to give you what you want.
Yeah.
But they also know that there's been a lot of discussion at the zoning board on a lot of different issues. So, you know, maybe it is worth you going back to the zoning board, taking out, I think giving them drawings. They do need those drawings, whatever you feel is appropriate. But I do think that they're going to want that. You don't want to insult them with, you know,
right.
Crayons. You want to do it. And so I would just say, you know, here's the fact. Fact is, you know, it's not going to be, bathroom's gone. We're going to change it up. So it's, you know, fits better maybe. But you know, John, it did say it's 8 feet higher than most. So
the original was address that even taller, and that, you know, we pulled that back because it was that.
Erica, if you can get your neighbors to say, oh, I didn't know that. If it's not a bathroom or it's not going to be an apartment, then I'm all in favor. That would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I think it's best to give you time to get that done, which I think, you know, you might be able to.
Okay.
I want to just clarify that the height is an issue for me. I don't want to give you the impression that, you know, once you take the bathroom out and the neighbors see that you're not going to rent it out, it's all going to be great here. It's more than 40% higher than what's allowed. There's just a large amount. So I am concerned about that and the precedent that sets also.
So the risk is that, you know. So what do you want to do? I just don't want to take a vote and then,
right.
You know,
well, I think Laura won.
Okay, Laura.
Hi guys. I own 210 Gale. So I'm the precedent setter, sorta. Here's what I think. This pocket of houses there is some of the oldest houses in River Forest. They're extremely unique. The uniqueness of these houses is dictating the uniqueness of the garages. So it's not like everyone's going to come to you and say, this garage that a future person is going to come to you and say, I now want to build a garage that's at the same height as this garage just because there's the precedent. No, you would have to, as a board, say, the only reason we allowed that is because it was historically appropriate for that house. So it's extremely...
Unfortunately, that's not how... I mean, here, just pulled something up and says, we did 2.5.
But if you say... if you say here that you're doing it because the only reason you're allowing it is because of a historic preservation of this design of this house. Their house is a one of a kind.
So I'm not trying to talk Gavin, but we have nearly 300 homes that would fit that category.
This one
under our preservation.
Not in the historic district, but the specific roof structure of that house. If you're because they're tying the garage just like we did to the roof of this house, so that it was the same pitch. That's the only thing that dictated the height, was that you wanted to mimic the house. So if you're trying to mimic another house in River Forest, you wouldn't come up with the same. This was also done on way North Keystone with another historic, beautiful, beautiful house. And it ended up to be a stunningly beautiful garage matching the house. If you come by my house, I think you would think the same thing. I just don't want you to get kind of caught up in these little details when really we're trying to make beautiful houses more beautiful instead of building a box, because that's what they have to end up with next to their really beautiful historic house. I don't think, if you look at 146 Keystone, 210, there's a couple of garages around that have been approved for this, and they are stunning. And I'm very serious. And I just think it's a missed opportunity if you guys don't see that people are just trying to make things beautiful and improve property values. And
I think a lot of us do. And we recognize.
Well, maybe there's a way that you can make this decision by narrowing the rule about how, if you're going to do this pitch, then your house has to mimic it, or you have to have an argument that makes sense. You can't just do it just because it's precedent, but because it's the same as your house. Just throwing that. It's been a frustrating process. I was at the zoning board meeting with them. It was extremely confusing. They didn't feel like they had an opportunity to speak. The board was confusing. The comments that came from neighbors that they didn't know about, they were blindsided by. So the whole process just felt really, really not so great. And so I really hope that we can rectify this and make this right somehow.
It sounds like we're bringing clarity to them a little bit more at this table.
Yes. It's unfortunate that it didn't happen at the zoning board meeting, actually, because it really was chaos, I thought. Yeah.
And I do want to echo the fact that we should be encouraging homeowners who buy these homes to invest in them, to make them as beautiful as they can be, because quite frankly, I would rather not have a box. So I'm just putting that on the table. That's something we have to consider, because historic preservation is also something that's makes us unique and different.
That's true.
Better about it.
Yeah. But
an going to and coming out of an incoherent meeting versus you know what the problems are. You know that there's 3 to 4 or 4 to 3. Give it a shot. That would make me think about it. But right now it sounds like everybody had. We've had these issues before where, you know, input didn't get heard, this, that, and the other, and we're voting only to find out there's a whole other side of people that had something to say. So, you know, I would say, you know what the hurdles are. Give it a shot, and then we take it from there. But, you know, like you said, you still got the bathroom issue that could be removed, and you still. So find out what the issues are, even with your residents or your neighbors. Mm-hmm. And you know, then it's a clear discussion versus, I don't know why they came. I don't know why they're all of a sudden mad at me or whatever. You know,
I mean, I don't know if the height was as much of a concern as some of the other things.
Okay.
So talk to the residents and say, would you agree to say that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Come through with the stronger evidence that it helps your case with the zoning board. And especially if you're close, like if this was a landslide, I'd say, well, it's not a good shot, but sounds like you're close, right?
Yeah, it's true.
So I think sounds like
it sounds what I'm hearing from the board is, you know, gets maybe some better clarity from the zoning board based on some of the changes you want to make. If you can get more support from your neighbors, that's huge. And if you can flip a zoning member, that's even better. But I mean, I think because, you know, we take their concerns, I mean, serious. We take their discussion serious. I mean, they're good people, smart people. So
I think we should clarify what you mean by what we're doing right here.
I think it means that we're not going to vote. I think you guys can vote.
So here's where we are. We have a motion and a second. Yeah. which would call for a vote. However, the movement is free to withdraw that motion. Otherwise, you would take the vote, and if it failed, there could be, or someone could make a motion to continue the matter to a date certain. That would take precedence. We probably don't want to take a motion on the approval because...
Just withdraw the motion.
I withdraw the motion.
Who seconded?
Ken seconded.
Yes. You seconded.
I agree with that withdrawal. Okay.
Right. Now the motion would be to remand this matter to the ZBA.
Right.
To remand to a date certain, Matt.
February 8th is the next.
February 8th, 2024. That's important so that republication isn't necessary.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 100%, guys.
February 8th so that a public notice wouldn't need to be redone. Since it's going to that date specific, we'll just have it on the agenda for that night, and we can be in communication about the submittal of the documents and go from there.
Thank you very much.
Second, I'll second it.
So Erica?
Right.
All right. So that's the vote we're going to take, We need a vote on that, and then...
Right.
Thank you. Okay, so...
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Motion remanded.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let's go move on to 9A, which is this the award of the bond issuance that we talked about last board meeting. So if I can get a motion and a second.
I move to approve an ordinance providing for the issue of not to exceed 600,000 general obligation limited tax bonds, series 2024 of the Village of River Forest, Cook County, Illinois, for the purpose of paying for public infrastructure projects within the village, providing for the levy of a direct annual tax to pay the principal of and interest on said bonds.
Second.
Okay. Rosie, anything you want to add?
I think the main point is Forest Park National Bank was the loan response to our call for bids. We sent it out to 6 or 7 local banks. Rosie had talked to our bond counsel that said that was a competitive rate that we received, the 3.55 and 3.45. That's kind of the high points of it.
Yeah. I mean, we do it every 2 years. This is the fourth, I think, since the DSEB kind of came into play. The amount that we can levy is based on the increase over the CPI every 2 years.
Okay.
Just one quick question. You mentioned it was in our packet that it went to about 5 or 6 different banks and we got one response. Is there any particular reason why?
Can't say for certain. I know one of the ones that we sent it to is that they aren't doing municipal bonds at this time. Okay. One, I think, just ran out of time to submit and let us know towards the end of the process. The others, I'm not sure we got any response. We were certainly hoping for more to kind of.
And I sent reminder emails out too, just hoping that we would get some more. And so my concern was the rates that we received was that, and when my contact that's working with me to issue the bond, she said they were very good competitive rates at this time.
Yep.
Because our markets are.
Yeah. It's a decent price.
Yeah. We talked
about some strategies.
We got spoiled a couple
years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we took advantage of the market.
We did.
And that was a good thing. And we talked about a few strategies, Erica, you know, what we could do to maybe help move that toward, you know, more people being interested in it. You know, it's a hard market.
Yeah.
Okay. So any other further questions for Rosie or Matt?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I can ask to take a vote.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
All right. Super. Well, that I don't think we have an executive session, so that ends our regular scheduled meeting. If I can get a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Okie dokie.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
President Odusi.
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.